Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
I know, big shocker of the morning. LaMelo Ball shut down for the year. Not that we didn't all know this was coming, but now it is official. Yes, indeed. Finally, he can come off the can't cut list on Yahoo or whatever website you're using for your fantasy sports because, again, we knew he wasn't coming back. Here's the tweet from Woj. Charlotte Hornets guard LaMelo Ball, who's missed 29 consecutive games with an ankle injury, will remain out for the final 2+ weeks of the season, comma, team says. That's the quote from Woj. That's a tweet. And we knew this was happening. At this point, I mean, you're 2 weeks from the end of the regular season, so nobody was holding their breath that he was about to magically reappear. There was no reason to. Another lost season for LaMelo Ball, who's been healthy one of his years so far, I believe. Fourth season of his career. I mean, some of it comes down to how many games there were. He missed 21 games his freshman season. Only missed 7 his second year in the league. That was the sort of hope. Last year he played 36 games. This year he will finish at 22. Well, I've missed 60 games of this year. If you drafted LaMelo Ball with your first or second round pick, your team was largely doomed this year. You just can't get nothing out of your first round pick in fantasy basketball. You can't. I don't care how good he is in the games he's in, which, by the way, he was pretty good, but for 9-cat, 26th per game, which, let's be honest, we called that. His fantasy game is very neat. It's neat. But he also has 2, you could even argue 3 if you're talking about blocks, but I'm not really, 2 very large issues with it. One being turnovers, so a big reason a 9-cat his value is a lot lower than an 8-cat. And then he's basically a punt field goal guy, which a couple guys above him ended up there that I don't know that we knew they were going to be, like a Dame ended up being kind of a punt field goal guy. But Dame's turnovers were like 1.5 lower. That's a thing. Freddie VanVleet, been a punt field goal guy forever, but he doesn't take as many as LaMelo. 19 shots a game at 43%. That's pretty rough. Pretty rough. And then where Dame has another giant edge is that he's the best free throw shooter in the NBA. So that ends up being a huge positive, where for LaMelo Ball, it's a smallish, medium positive. How is he going to get to that 11th or whatever his ADP was, like 10, 11, something like that? How is he going to get there this year? There wasn't a path to it. So fortunately, I only drafted him in one spot. That team is dead. That team, I ended up going LaMelo Ball and Kyrie Irving, like right around the turn. I think I had the second to last pick or something like that. Massive regrets. I mean, I got no problem with Kyrie. He's number 9 per game, but he's also going to probably finish this season missing 22, 23 ball games. You can stomach that. You know, if you took Kyrie at 14, 15, something like that, where he was going, and he's number 9 per game, and he misses 20 ball games, he's not going to get to his ADP, but he's not going to be all that far off. But I couldn't possibly stomach both. I needed one of my 2 early picks to actually play in some ball games. But this is also, again, I'm like, the funny thing is, this isn't even why I had said I was avoiding LaMelo Ball. I wasn't that worried about him missing the whole year with an injury. I thought he was going to play. I thought the Hornets were actually going to try to compete this year, but as soon as he went down again, so went any prayer of Charlotte being a competitive basketball team this year. So I ask you all, before we get into the massive Wednesday recap, is he draftable? Is LaMelo Ball draftable next year? The answer is yes, everybody is draftable every year. But the price tag has to be right. What's a reasonable price tag for LaMelo Ball? Well, he was getting pretty consistently overdrafted because his 8-cat value, again, was going to be so far ahead of his 9-cat value, so that skewed the X rank and then the ADP in 9-category drafts. But this was a guy who was going to get drafted, what, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range, and had almost no chance of getting there in 9-category leagues on a per-game basis. Does this back-to-back completely obliterated season run for him, does that finally push him down to where he should have been going anyway? Here's my issue with Ball. What more could he have done this year, reasonably? Yeah, I mean, you could hope that a field goal percentage is going to be better, but it's probably not. You're not going to get more than 1.8 steals per game. That's a huge number. You're probably not going to get more than 3 and some odd 3-pointers, 5 boards, and 8 assists. Like, he kind of maxed out. Free throw percent is good. I don't know where he goes to get higher on the board, other than to eliminate turnovers, and I don't know that that's something that's just going to magically go away either. So this is a guy, Ball, that should have been getting drafted at the end of the second round anyway. Now, where does he go this coming year, next season? He probably gets drafted around where he was ranked per game. So I still don't know that there's a massive amount of upside there. You're going to see him getting drafted and being targeted by a lot of folks if he's going at like 25. And I'm fine with that because, again, if you're sort of throwing turnovers, throwing caution to the wind on turnovers and don't care that much about them, great. You're not alone. Everybody's doing it. And you can always make up for that a little bit later on, old man squad style, with some guys that are lower turnover types. So he's a pretty easy guy to build around if you're getting him at 24, 25 or later. But I also don't know that that's leap enough. I asked this question on Twitter this morning, and the response was definitely like, look, I'm not taking him before the third round. I bet you are. I bet you are. Because I bet by the time draft season comes around next year, he's going to be going before that. And so if you have any chance of getting him, you're going to have to probably move before that. All right, that's a little mellow story for the morning. We have a lot to cover. But first, welcome to the show. It's Fantasy NBA Today, Sports Ethos presentation. I'm your host, Dan Bespris. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Bespris. Super easy. D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. We have a whopper of a 12-gamer to cover from yesterday, so I just want to dive right on in. I would very kindly ask that if you guys are somewhat new to the proceedings here, please take a moment to like. If you're watching on YouTube or on Twitter, to like. If you're watching on YouTube or listening after the fact, subscribe. If you're listening after the fact, please drop a 5-star review. Whatever you can do to continue to grow this thing, especially if you're new, if you're brand new, welcome. I like to assume that one new person is watching every single day, whether it's, or listening, I guess, some taking in the content. One new person every single day, so we'll try to treat the show as such. But let's get into it. We're going to try to move somewhat fast over situations that allow it. Cleveland is a spot where we do need to pause for just a second because Max Strus came back, had a minutes cap, if you're wondering why he was at 24 and some odd minutes in this ballgame. Donovan Mitchell is targeting a return on Friday, so that'd be the Cavaliers' next ballgame tomorrow. What does it mean? Well, first of all, Strus looked pretty loose for the first time in a while. Yes, I chose my words quite carefully there. He had been playing on a bum knee for a bit, and I think this time off almost definitely helped him. And I'd be inclined to say, and I know I've been probably a little too high on Strus this year, but I'd be inclined to say, give him a look. Because if he really does have his bounce back from the beginning of the season, which evaporated and then he just, like, he couldn't keep up and the shot wasn't falling, if he's about to go on a little bit of a nice run here with his legs back under him, that'd be a pretty good guy to get because he was getting some points, some threes, some boards, some assists, couple of defensive stats, not a lot, but some. He might fall into that doesn't matter group. That's possible. He might be 100 to 150 range, but he has a shot to go a little bit ahead of that, so I'm adding Strus. And then you can likely move on from George Niang, you can likely move on from Isaac Okoro, and you can likely move on from Caris LeVert, because especially once Donovan Mitchell comes back, he's not going to have anything to do anymore. And what he does do is going to be done inefficiently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hornets shot 58%. Cavs might have maybe wanted to consider playing a little bit of defense. They did not. Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, those are the easy calls. Trey Mann, I believe, is a yes. Barely, but a yes. Vasilije Micic had 12 assists here. He's basically an assist stream. Has some pretty glaring issues with his fantasy game. Turnovers, lack of rebounds, typically not a great field goal percent. He was fine. He was good enough in this one, but he's a category hunting guy with Cody Martin also, by the way, ruled out for the year. So if you wanted to pick up some assists, Micic is the way to go. And then, of course, Nick Richards is the same old Nick Richards. Alexei Pokuševski is interesting. He played 23 minutes here. He had 10-7 with an assist, showed off some interesting handle. But you can't do anything with him unless his minutes get up into the high 20s, and I don't see that happening. And no, I don't care about Grant Williams having a slightly better ball game. He runs hot and cold and pass. Brooklyn beat Washington, took everything in their power to get over the hump, including overtime. Cam Thomas is back in a big way. Cam Thomas, Nick Claxton, Mikal Bridges, those are the guys you can definitely start. Schroeder had a nice ball game here. Some of that was because Washington is so truly, truly awful on defense. With Cam Johnson out and Dennis Smith Jr. out, Schroeder is probably still a yes, but it's iffy. And you're like, Dan, how can you call it iffy? Dude had 21-8 with three threes. Yeah, but we've watched Schroeder for long enough to know that his fantasy game is typically some points, some assists, and not a whole lot else. He and Reggie Jackson kind of have that have similar profile just in how they accrue stats. If there's enough usage, which there very much was yesterday, plus overtime doesn't hurt, then he's a go. If it slips under that barricade, he becomes more of a kind of a points assists play. But right now, with the guys out for the Nets that are out for the Nets, he's a play in, I think, most formats. For the Wizards, Rashawn Holmes got hurt 12 minutes in. That busts up what was a pretty amazing run. He had 45 rebounds in his three ball games before this one. Marvin Bagley is an ad across all formats. They really don't have much left. Tristan Vukovic, 4 minutes, no. They played Anthony Gill at center before. He's a no. Denny Avdija at center is probably the most likely other solution here, but that likely means mid to high 20s minutes for Bagley at least. And if he's playing all right, he might even get to 30. He was inside the top 100 before they started playing Rashawn Holmes before. And now with the assumption that Rashawn misses a ball game, I don't know. Guys leaving a game early, I always assume that they're going to miss the next one because, like, if it didn't hurt that bad, they'd try to play through it. So Jordan Poole, Marvin Bagley, Kyle Kuzma, Denny Avdia, those are the four guys you can start on this team. Corey Kispert is a guy you play only when Kuzma is out. Or maybe Avdia, but mostly Kuz. Warriors, Draymond Green got ejected 3.5 minutes into the ballgame. It was beyond idiotic. Then there was footage that looked like Steph Curry was almost tearing up. He was so annoyed with his teammate. But the Warriors won anyway, somehow. Pretty damn good win, honestly, for the Dubs. They just played good defense because they sure as crap didn't score all that much. Trayce Jackson-Davis filled in admirably. You got a nice big game out of him because of the Draymond ejection. He's a hold right now. Again, the free throws are an issue, but he didn't go to the line. So that's sort of like the best case scenario. Andrew Wiggins has had two good ones in a row after a whole bunch of middling games. I still think Wiggins probably profiles as like a 100 to 130, 140 range guy, where if you're attacking some points, some boards, maybe a little bit of the defensive stuff, you could dive in. But if he warms up, he has the potential to be a little bit better than that. So he's sort of like a doesn't matter with upside, which I think is kind of similar to how I view Max Strus. And you're just looking for slightly different things. Wiggins scares me, though, because if he starts shooting, the percentages can both hurt you in a way that with a lot of these other guys, maybe not both, maybe one or the other. So what do you do? I know everybody wants sort of like the final call on Wiggins. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. Pods is obviously a drop. Clay is a hold, especially back in the starting five. And then Chris Paul is probably a drop these days. He's barely playing lately. Wonder if we're going to find out that he's dealing with something. But even if he is, who cares? There's 2 weeks left. There's no reason to hang on to somebody who sucks right now. And Chris Paul sucks right now. I think you can drop him. If you want to hang on for assists, I'm okay with that as well. For the Magic, Cole Anthony, 32 big bench minutes. Their bench played better than their starters, so you saw some of the minutes flip-flop a little bit here. I'm not adding Cole Anthony, and neither should you. Wendell Carter Jr. is not a 9-cat play, nor is Markelle Fultz. Jalen Suggs is cooling back off again, so I think you probably want to abandon ship there. My favorite player to watch on the Magic right now is Jonathan Isaac. 9-5 with a steal, 2 blocks, and a couple of three-pointers. He has one of the best fantasy profiles of anybody in the NBA. Remember the last time, it was 4 or 5 years ago at this point, but the last time he played starters minutes for a couple of months, he was a second rounder. 24 minutes, which does not feel sustainable, especially because they got a back-to-back coming up. But if he's getting 24 minutes somewhat regularly, then he's a play in any spot where you can get him in there. Certainly more so in Roto, because then when he takes a game off, it doesn't hurt you all that much. But he's always going to be dramatically under-rostered because of his injury history, and it makes total sense. But like he's available in a lot of leagues, and if you're in a Roto league and he's on the wire, that's foolish. Knicks smoked the tanking Raptors. McBride, easy call to fill in for OG right now. Dante Brunson, Josh Hart are all easy calls as well. But things have gotten a little bit confusing in the Knicks front court. Mitchell Robinson came back, played a dozen minutes, which, and I think if this game was closer, maybe he would have gotten like another three, but there was sort of no reason to overextend him. He's a Roto stash, not a head-to-head ad. Said this on Twitter. Say it again here. Hartenstein, you hold for now, but I do think that as Robinson gets fully up to speed, Hartenstein will end up being a drop. Question is there even enough time in the season for it to matter? Season might be over before you hit that point, and if we do, it'll be with like, what, 3-4 games left maybe? And then Precious Chua had a giant ball game here, but a lot of that was blowout and just sort of the way the rotation shook out. He's not a guy you can trust night to night. Precious, that is. For Toronto, if they could just keep one game lightly competitive, we could see Gary Trent and Kelly Olynyk really turn it loose. They were still fine in this one, despite their team getting blitzed again. Those are the two guys you're hanging on to in Roto. Head-to-head, they have a bad schedule the rest of this week. Toronto's off for 3 days in a row. If you cannot afford to hold them, then don't do it, but that's a head-to-head issue for your team. not for everybody, because I have Olynyk in mostly roto spots, and I'm holding him there. I have Gary Trent on a head-to-head team, and I did drop him today because I was sort of looking at my matchup, and I have a pretty good-sized lead in three-pointers. I have a small to medium lead in steals, but I figured whoever I picked up could probably cover what Trent does in one game in two. I just need half performance in those things, and then I'm likely going to lose points, so if a guy I pick up doesn't score half of what Trent scored, then it doesn't really hurt me all that much. I could probably get a rebounding and assist bounce by making that move. Again, steals threes, so I can probably hold even. Maybe I get a blocks bounce as well. Maybe I get a field goal percent bounce if I pick up somebody who's not a chucker. So I get it. I'm there with you in a couple of spots, but again, you know your team better than I do. Portland's in full tank mode right now. I'm starting to think we don't see their regulars the rest of the year, but DeAndre Ayton wasn't ruled out until relatively late, so there's a possibility you do see Ayton. Luckily, I don't think it matters all that much, because Duop Reith is not a reliable backup center. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't block that many shots. He's not super close to the bucket on the offensive side, so the percentages are not particularly helpful from their center. Those are the ways that centers can rack up fantasy stats, is rebounds and field goal percent and defensive stats, and he's not really all that good at any of those. As far as what the hell's going with Portland right now, the guys you can probably trust, Tumani Kamara has a pretty translatable fantasy game because he'll score, rebound, assist, and get some defensive stats. And then Delano Banton, who's just taking a ton of shots right now. He's gone ham, 23 shots again last night. He's crested over that point where, yeah, ultimately the efficiency stuff is going to be terrible, but even like you could take 23 shots a night, even if your efficiency's awful, you're probably still going to put up enough fantasy stat to counterweight that. So in this iteration of the Blazers, especially against teams that also don't play much defense like the Hawks, and Portland has a bad schedule, so don't get on my case about this on the head-to-head side. They got Miami and Orlando next, teams that can actually play a little bit defense, and then Charlotte and Washington, and then probably Boston, who won't be taking them very seriously in that one. That's probably where you want to attack some Blazers middle to end of next week. But Roto side, yeah, I mean, you could probably play those two guys, Banton and Kamara. Not any farther than that, though. Atlanta, I think you can play DeAndre Hunter. He's iffy, but I think you can play him. Capella, Bogey, and DeJounte Murray, those guys are all pretty straightforward. Capella, 7 defensive stats. That was a pleasant surprise. You expect the blocks every once in a while, but 4 steals. The magic of playing a Blazers team that's a bunch of G-leaguers right now. I know Garrison Matthews had a good ball game. I don't care. I know Bruno Fernando had a pretty good ball game. I don't care. Vit Krejci has been doing a little bit more. I don't care. These are guys that you use for their good schedule on the head-to-head side, but you're not bothering with those dudes on Roto. All right, let's keep shuffling along. Nothing to see here on the Clippers. Really nothing at all. Zubats is a doesn't matter level center. If you're looking for boards, he didn't get many in this ballgame, but boards, field goal percent in particular, that's the only thing that's up in the air on the Clippers side. Philly, Kelly Oubre came back, and then this very controversial ending where Oubre pretty clearly got clubbed on the last shot of the ballgame. It wasn't called. And then he went full scene from, well, it was originally, well, I guess it's really more of a Half-Baked reference. Yeah. Anyway, he singled out each ref individually. You got to go find that tape if you want to see something pretty hilarious. Oubre's a play. I know he wasn't efficient here, but he's a play. Maxey's a play. Tobias is a play. And then my continuing fear on what's to become of Paul Reed, he managed 3 blocks again, which is covering up for the fact that the rest of his stats have completely evaporated. He remains, because of the defensive stats, he remains just barely above the cut line, but it does kind of feel like Reed is falling back into that doesn't matter group, meaning the if you need a few boards and some defensive stats, play him. If you don't, you don't. Categorical hunting. That's the, you know, during the regular season, early in the year, whatever, you're not really playing those doesn't matter guys very much. But right now, they're all part of the, okay, do I need this stat Mo Bamba had a double-double, but only 19 minutes. That's the more important part. Buddy Hield had 17 points, but again, only 25 and a half bench minutes. No. I think that's all we needed to talk about on the Sixers. Pacers got waxed. You're not changing anything you're doing with them fantasy after a bad ball game. Nembhard had a good one. I don't care. T.J. McConnell still got his 12 points and 4 assists, so he managed to kind of survive it to some degree. Nobody else did. McConnell, Halliburton, Turner, Siakam. Those are the four guys you start in all formats. Nembhard, Nesmith are your sort of schedule level plays. They're not even in a doesn't matter zone. They're schedule level only. Bulls took care of this one early. Andre Drummond got a few extra minutes. As a result, he's a rebounds target only. And then otherwise, White, DeRozan, Dosunmu, Vooch, and Caruso. Those are your five Bulls. Same old thing, same old thing. They keep it easy for us in Chicago.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's an interesting one. Detroit, 32 minutes again for Chimezie Metu, who, you know, 2 games back he had a good one, and then he played 17 minutes in between. And after he had that first decent ball game, well, it was better than decent. It's 17 and 8, 3 assists, a steal, a block, good percentages. A lot to like about that game against the Pelicans, whatever, 3-4 days ago. Then against the Knicks, he had 6 and 2 with 4 assists. He did still have 2 steals and a block. And it seems like Metu's kind of played his way into the vacated minutes that originally belonged to Isaiah Stewart and Azar Thompson, and then became the property of Simone Fontecchio, and now they're just there, sitting there for the taking. I'm going to call Metu a speculative ad here. I don't know that I have the balls to play him in Detroit's next ball game. And Pistons have a bad schedule, so I get it. Head-to-headers, you can kind of tune me out. But they got the Wizards. If there's ever a team that Metu could pick on a little bit, and they got Cade back, so that should get him open a little bit more. Then they got Memphis, then Atlanta, Memphis again, Brooklyn. A lot of kind of cake opponents here. Not that Detroit's going to win any of those games, but they should be competitive in most of them. So why not? Why can't Metu get 29, 30 minutes in those ball games? Why not? So I say, at least in terms of the sort of risky proposition roll of the dice types, I think Metu has a pretty good shot. Now, you got to wait and make sure that he's starting before you actually use him against a games cap. And you're not using him in head-to-head because Detroit only has one more game this week. But if this sticks and Fontecchio doesn't come back, Detroit could make a lot of sense for next week. They got 4 games for 6 days next week. Something to keep an eye on head-to-head-wise. Roto, I mean, I got some clunker players on my team I'm happy to dispose of if I can get some rebounds, steals, blocks on good percentages out of a guy. I'm into it. Wiseman is a drop with Durin back. Sasser is someone I've got on my watch list, but not beyond that. He hasn't shown any consistency to warrant it. And then Cade came back, so that was good news. No Jaden Ivey in this one, which may have played a role. Everybody may have sort of shifted up a spot. That's why you got to make sure that Metu's starting again in the next one. For the Wolves, it's just kind of fun to see Naz Reid cooking people. This is why last offseason I prayed to the fantasy lords that Naz Reid was going to get signed away from Minnesota by some team that wanted to make him a starting power forward. It didn't happen, so we had to wait all year. But now with Cat down, Naz is just going crazy. Yeah, he's great. fantasy great. Conley, Nas, Gobert, Anthony Edwards, who had a bad ball game here. Anthony Edwards is an amazing basketball player, and he's almost definitely going to get overdrafted in fantasy again next season, despite finishing, he's not over yet, but he's at number 38 per game this year, and doing almost as much as he possibly can. Yeah, I mean, kill me for it if you want, but it's the honest to goodness truth. Slow-mo has been inside the cut line over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Some of that was because guys were out. Some of it was because he's just sort of settling into a slightly larger role. I do think that ultimately he probably profiles better as a rebound, assist, steal combo specialist. But he's been good enough in scoring and the percentages to be playable in all formats lately. Just don't be surprised if some of that stuff does kind of taper off a tad and he becomes more of kind of that three category thing. But like, it wouldn't be that nuts to see him roll at kind of like a top 90 clip. So that'd be doable. Rockets caught a break. No Shai for Oklahoma City. Houston was able to beat him in overtime behind massive games again from Jalen Green and Amen Thompson. Dylan Brooks was pretty good in this one. I keep wondering if he's going to be able to do enough with Şengün out. It hasn't been consistently enough, though, for me to actually get behind it. If Brooks starts taking 15, 16 shots a ball game, I might adjust and say go ahead, but he's on my watch list. No big surprises here. You're basically at start the starters besides Brooks with Houston. For the Thunder, going into this ballgame, I think I said something on yesterday's podcast about how I thought Giddey and Dort had a shot to actually do some fantasy stuff. Well, Giddey was right. Dort wasn't. I needed Dort to take about a dozen shots, and I certainly needed him to shoot better than 2 for 10 to get there. If Shai misses another one, do I have the stones to play those two guys against the games cap? I probably would play Giddey against the games cap if Shai misses another ball game. I don't think I played Dort against it. And then Chet fouled out in 18 minutes, so that was also kind of relevant here. That's why guys off the bench got sort of different run than they're used to. Thought maybe Mike Muscala? No, they ran small. Isaiah Joe got a bunch of extra playing time, but that could very well disappear in the next one. Not safe at all. Lakers, big numbers on offense again. Lakers aren't guarding anybody, and without Anthony Davis, you knew they weren't going to guard anybody here. But you also knew that with Anthony Davis out, Hachimura was going to have a whole lot to do, and he did. And you also knew that Jackson Hayes was going to give you sort of a Nick Richardsian, a few dunks and a handful of rebounds kind of fill-in game, and he did just that. And that's the difference here. So when LeBron is out, you can go Rui. When AD is out, you can probably go Rui and Jackson Hayes. It frees up a lot more. And then you go D'Lo, Reeves, and, you know, LeBron or AD if they're in there, obviously kind of flipping whatever. I really like how Spencer Dinwiddie's been playing lately, but unless he's filling in for D'Lo or Reeves in the starting lineup, there's just sort of not enough usage there for him. But he has pretty consistently made their defense a lot better this year. And then for Memphis, Bane and JJJ, those are obvious ones when they're in. Desmond with 16 assists in this ballgame. That's crazy. Jake LaRavia got super hot, hit 7 3-pointers after, I think, going like 0 for 8 from 3 in his previous ballgame. So good luck chasing that one. And it appears as though Santi Aldama has officially quieted down, so I think you could probably go a different way there. Keep one eye on Brandon Clark. He made his return from an ACL tear, had 6 points and 5 rebounds. His legs won't be underneath him, I don't think, for the rest of this season. He's a guy you should consider and try to figure out where he fits for next year, if anything. But you can keep an eye on him. It certainly doesn't cost you anything to just watch a guy. But again, you're going to see Jake LaRavia get picked up in a bunch of spots, then you'll probably see him get dropped after the next one. There's just, you know, the consistency part is the part that's frustrating, where, you know, maybe if we get John Conchar back or if Luke Kennard shows back up again. But as it stands right now, with Aldama now cooling back off, and maybe he wakes up in the next one, I don't know. But if he's cooling off, then it's just Bane and Jaren Jackson. And I know what you're thinking, Dan. Why aren't you talking about GG Jackson? Same reason that I've been talking about him on this pod for a couple of weeks. He, when his usage is sky high, he can overwhelm the bad, which is kind of like what we just talked about with Banton in Portland. But if the usage isn't that high and the percentages are poor, then you get this, which is just like a whole bunch of nothing with turnovers and a bad field goal percent. The bottom can fall out pretty hard for GG, and that's why, you know, we talked about him, what, two days ago, where it was like, look, even when he was running hot, he was still just barely, he was like a 110 ranked player. So you're very much hunting points. That's it with GG. And you could treat a couple other guys similarly, I guess. Spurs beat the Jazz, battle of El Tanco. Jeremy Sohan's had two good ones in a row, but you got bigger stones than I do if you're putting him in your lineup. Wemby and Vassell are the super easy ones, and then Trey Jones took a grand total of two shots in 32 minutes. That's just not acceptable. But I do think that because the assists just sort of never really go away for him, he probably stays above the cut line. When he's cold, he's an assist specialist. When he's warm, you know, he can run at like a top 60 clip. So I'd hold Trey Jones. Utah, Sexton, Markkanen, Collins, and Walker Kessler are your safe plays. Keontae George is a points assists streamer. Just understanding that the turnovers and bad field goal percent and complete lack of defensive stats make him do more damage than good. But yeah, I mean, if you need points and assists and some threes, that's totally fine. But for me, it's those other four guys for Utah. And then Phoenix came out and caught Denver kind of napping in this ball game. KD was great. Grayson Allen, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, those are the guys. No Nurk in this one, but there isn't an obvious fill-in for him. Eubanks started, but he didn't do very much. So just those main four for now. And then for Denver, I said it before, I will say it again. I prefer two guys out before I'm comfortable starting Reggie Jackson against a games cap. Jamal Murray was out. Reggie took his spot at 11-3. Not a particularly good ball game for Jackson. If you were, again, stat hunting some points, some assists, that's a spot where maybe you could take a shot. But if you literally need anything else, then it's a bad decision. And that's why I need two guys out, because I need his usage to be higher. I need more offense to be going through Reggie, as opposed to being more of a catch-and-shoot guy around Nikola Jokic. And that is your very, very, very large Wednesday recap that we rolled super fast through, because I also want to do our streaming show immediately after this one. Jess says, happy opening day, Dan. Happy opening day, everybody. Baseball starts today, ladies and gentlemen. I do love it. I love it. I can't get enough. Dodgers open up at 1 p.m. Pacific time, so that game starts at about 3 hours here. Ah, good stuff. Good stuff. I will have it on in the background as I work or nap. I really didn't sleep last night. First IBS attack for me in a number of months, so I'm a sleepy bear today. What do we got here in the chat room? Donovan Dalton. I don't think you've posted here before, so hopefully you're new. I love new viewers. Very few new viewers on YouTube today, but quite a few, I'm sure, over on social media. I dropped LaMelo a while ago and got Jalen Green. Definitely been a great pickup. Yeah, I mean, LaMelo's been out forever, and we didn't think he was coming back. Hi, Dan. I'm currently being destroyed by the best players in the NBA, Jalen Green and Banton. How do I cope? Attack the other categories. Try to win percentages and try to win boards and assists and steals and blocks. There's always a way. There's always a way. Matt says, why aren't there any noon games for a baseball opening day? I think there's some 1 o'clock stuff. I didn't look at the whole calendar, but yeah, is that weird? I mean, is there not a noon Eastern time game that should be going right now? I'll be darned. I guess there isn't any. Orioles have a 3 o'clock Eastern start, so that one is at noon. Giants Padres at 1. Jays Rays at 1. Yankees Stros at 1. There's a lot of them. Pirates Marlins Twins Royals. Tigers White Sox. Nats Reds. Cards Dodgers. Those are all 1 o'clock starts. So we're getting there. A couple hours and then we'll have our baseball fix. Okay, folks. We're going to take about a 15-minute break. I'll be back with the streaming show right on the other side of it. So make sure you're subscribed. However you're taking it, if you're watching on Twitter, go over to the YouTube side so you can subscribe. That way you get the alert when the next show starts, unless you're very certain you're going to see my next tweet. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, whatever the other things are, make sure you're subscribed there. We'll get that streaming show out early today so you guys have plenty of time to make your choices. It's Quality Day, Quality Thursday. Follow on Twitter at Dan Vesperis, DanBesbris. Go use promo code ETHOS20 over at our pals at manscaped.com. And I will talk to you all in 15 minutes for show number 2 on this 2 for Thursday. By the way, I've thought about it. I don't know if I'm going to do the 2-fers on the very last week of the season because everybody's going to be resting, so there's kind of no point in gaming out max games played. You pretty much just want to save your moves for when your main dude gets shut down. That's the best way to handle the last week of the season because you're going to need to use at least 4 moves on guys being ruled out. There's no point in streaming on other stuff. So I don't know that we necessarily need to do... We'll do a weekly preview show, but I don't know that we need to do the streaming every day. But we'll continue to do that this week and hopefully next week as well, timing dependent. But so far, I've been able to do it. I can't believe that, by the way. Is this a sign that my kids are getting older? That I actually have time? Cheers! I'll see you guys in 15.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.